July 15th, Junior High Camp, Afternoon Chapel.
So, two things. First of all, it stinks real bad anywhere our shoes are. Is that the truth?
No.
Like, so bad. I don't know who's the culprit, but I'm pretty sure it's like all Noah Ben's fault. Have you guys been having fun?
Yeah.
What'd you guys do this morning? Put your hand up.
What?
Drama.
Soapstone.
Rip and ride.
Biking. Sports.
Wilderness.
Me?
Yeah.
Slept.
What?
Slept.
You slept this morning? You slept in? Earlier morning. Who was up like
at 5?
Ridiculously early and like not on purpose. Okay. Hold up. Shh. Okay, at the same time, tell me how early you were up. 1, 2, 3.
5.
All right. Who was up earlier than 7 o'clock? Put your hand up. Earlier than 6 o'clock. Earlier than 5:30.
Why are you up early?
Earlier than 5.
My sister.
Earlier than 4:30. Earlier. Quiet. Hey, quiet.
Okay, please.
Earlier than 4 o'clock. Earlier than 3 o'clock. What time were you up, Kat? 2:30? Greg, what time are you up at? Yeah. What time did you? Okay. When were you up for the day?
2:30. You woke up at 2:30 and then took a nap for the second.
You like closed
eyes
for like 4 hours.
All right. So you guys were up ridiculously early. Are you like completely exhausted? And you're like,
no.
Are you still kind of like, I'm at camp, this is so much fun?
I guess this is like this.
Yeah, that's
how much.
I hope for the rest of my life.
Okay, eyes on me. Awesome. Eyes on me, Greg. Thanks, man. So, if your eyes are on me, I know that you can look at me, which means you probably won't be talking at the same time I'm trying to talk, which I appreciate. All right, so guys, many of you came to camp and you were Christians. You are Christians. And some of you, you're still kind of learning what that's all about. I've got a message for you this morning. The hardest thing you're going to do in life, the most difficult thing you're going to do in life, and the easiest thing you're going to do in life is be a Christian. How can it be the same thing? How can it be the easiest and the most difficult? It's hard. It's a bizarre thing, right? So one of the things, I'm going to tell you a story from my life, but being a Christian is hard. It's really hard because there are times when you got to make decisions that you don't want to make. And it's not easy. Your friends are doing this and you're like, I don't think that's the right thing to do. But you're kind of stuck because your friends are over there doing that. And you're like, but I know what's right. And sometimes you just want something that you shouldn't want, or you should want to do something that you shouldn't do if you're going to be a follower of Christ. And so it's hard to make those right decisions when we're being tempted and we're facing difficulties and we're feeling alone and we're feeling like nobody's around to support us. I don't know about you, but when I was your age, and still even today, at times, not as much, but at times, I feel really alone as a Christian. Anybody with me? It's hard. And the more alone we feel, the harder it gets. When my parents were campers, there was a song. And the song went something, described this. You know, when we have two embers, or three embers, or four embers together from a fire, they keep hot and they glow. Take one away and guess what happens? It burns out. That's kind of like Christians. When we're together, we can burn hot. We can be all for Jesus. It's easy to live as a Christian when we're all together at camp and we're just here and we're having fun and we know that it's cool, it's all right to be somebody who identifies as a follower of Christ, a Christian. But when we get back to school, when we get back to home, when we get back to the reality of life that's not here at camp, it can be hard. There's drugs. There's alcohol. There's sex. There's all sorts of things and pressures and bullying and things that happen within our social groups that are just difficult and make us feel alone. And we're not sure what to do with that sometimes. When I was your age, I was in grade 7. All right, let's do this. Can anybody guess how many years ago I was in grade 7? 88.
96.
All right.
20.
Put your hand up. Put your hand up. All right. I'm 30. Okay, we're guessing my age now. Okay, we'll just guess my age. Okay? I'm not 38.
37.
You're not going to guess. You're my daughter. 41. You're pretty close. Staff aren't allowed to guess.
40.
Right? Hey, quiet. You got to have your hand up.
20?
Oh, you're a sweetheart. No.
Wait. Sweet
60s. No. 44.
No.
39.
Yes. 39. So, who's in grade 7? Shh. Going into grade 7. Quiet, quiet, please. Quiet, please. How old are you? She's 12. So if I'm 39 and I was 12 when I was going into grade 7, how old, how many years ago was that, Greg?
24.
Oh, you're so, are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, eyes on me. 27 years ago. So eyes on me. I wanted to be cool. I didn't want to be on the outside looking in. Anybody relate? It was hard. Because I didn't have, my dad was the principal of the school I went. And so one of the days I got into math class, and my friends that I wanted to be hanging out with, who weren't very good friends by the way, are like, they had done zero studying for this pop quiz or this test. They're like, John, let me look. I'm like, so I kind of like lifted my arm and put my sheet over a little bit, and you could like, they were totally cheating, and I knew it, and I let them, and I got away with it. Nothing happened. 2 weeks later, like, still want to hang out with the cool kids, with these guys. John, another pop quiz. Let me look. And so, moved my arm away, put my sheet over, I got caught. So, it's one thing to get caught as a student, but when you're the son of the principal, it sucks. It's no fun. So for the next 3 weeks, I had to tutor. I didn't know what I was doing, but I had to tutor these other kids because my excuse was, I just wanted to help them. Like, well, there's better ways to help them, so you can tutor them so they can learn this stuff and you guys can be in detention for the next 3 weeks. So I got to be in detention for 3 weeks, every noon hour, in detention at the library, teaching, helping these other guys learn their math. They weren't very good students. I wasn't a very good teacher, and so it took 4 weeks. So it wasn't very fun. And I chose wrong. And I could tell you a whole whack load of more stories of me choosing wrong, and me choosing wrong, and me choosing wrong. Have you ever stepped on a rake, and you just go like,
no.
Bam! Okay. Let's be honest. Put your hand up if you've done it. Okay. So I stepped on this rake one day and it came up and it just crushed me. Like, just impaled me right there. Like, I'm pretty sure there was like this big divot from the handle. It hurt so bad. But I got mad. I didn't learn. I just got mad. I'm like, I can handle this. This stupid rake. So I did it again. Whack! Twice. And so after I came back and I regained consciousness, I looked at the rake again. And I'm like, okay, this isn't complicated. I just step here and it should be like nice and slow. And so I'm like, okay. And so I'm like, ever so gently pressing down, like, oh, it's rising slow. And it gets, just so you know, it gets to a point where it like kind of teeters right there, and you gotta kind of give it a little extra to get it over that like nudge. And I'm like, and so I did. Wham!
Where are your parents?
I don't know. So 3 times, same spot. It hurts so bad. Don't do that. But do you feel like sometimes we do that as Christians? You're like, you walk into that and you know, I shouldn't hang out with these guys. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't go there because it's not good for me. It's not good for me. And just like I stepped on the rake, sometimes we go walk into that same situation and we get hurt the same way. And it's just hard. It's just hard, right? Can you think of those times in your life? Tonight, let's look at John. Let's read our Bibles. John 17. We're going to start looking at verse 20. So cabin leaders, let's help your campers out. Finding some books of the Bible. John 17. Pardon me. Yeah, John 17, verse 20. And like I said yesterday, if you need a Bible, talk to your cabin leader. We got a bunch of Bibles, should be coming tonight, and we'll give you one. Free of charge, no cost. It's yours forever, and it will do amazing things for you in your life. John 17, and we're going to start at verse 20. So, not anymore, I'm 39. Okay, eyes on me. Awesome. So Jesus is praying in this passage, okay? He's praying just before he's thinking about what's going to be coming next for him. And the death that he's going to be soon coming to him. And, you know, it's difficult. And he gets to this point where he's praying for his disciples. Okay, so it's John 17, verse 20. This is what it says. And pick up on this, because it sounds to me like he's praying for you guys here today. Listen to this. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Did you catch that? So he's talking about the disciples that he was discipling. James, or Peter, John, James, Andrew. Okay? He's talking about these guys. I'm praying not only for these disciples, that's who he's talking about, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's us. He's praying for us. 2,000 some years ago, he was thinking about you and how hard it was going to be to live a life after God. I think that just blows my mind that Jesus would think about me, think about you, long before we are ever even a thought in anybody's imagination. And he says this, I'll pray that they will all be one. If we're all one, what does that mean? What does it mean that we're all one? Any ideas? It's not Siamese twins.
Maybe that, like, we're all his creation?
We're all his creation? Okay, yeah.
Like we're all parts of him in a way.
Okay, we're all parts of him. You know what I think it means? I think it means we're of all of one mind, the same purpose, the same idea, the same people as far as what we're living for and how we're living. We are one. We're unified in what we do. So, we've been talking a little bit about athletics. Tell me, what would an athlete, a team of athletes, do if they were exceptionally talented, but weren't unified? They were always fighting. They were never playing together as a team. Jack?
No Stanley Cup.
No Stanley Cup. Luke? Pardon me?
Not really talented, not together.
Yeah, like they might be individually talented, but they're lacking some real big skill sets if they can't work together. Now let's take some mediocre players that are really, really exceptional as playing as a team. What do you think can happen? I think you're right. Jack, what do you think?
You'll have, like, the chemistry to actually do all instead of, like, fighting.
Yeah. How many superstars... Okay, some of you follow hockey. Who won the Stanley Cup this year?
St. Louis.
Now, how many superstars were on the St. Louis Blues?
Five.
Five, maybe? I don't...
Two.
One, maybe two?
Three.
Not a lot. And you know what's interesting about those guys? Those superstars? They didn't have as much personal success as they did team success. They were more successful as a team than they were as an individual because they put the team first. What would happen to our world, if we as a little group here worked so well together and were so closely unified with one mind, with one heart, living for Jesus so well, what would happen to our world, do you think? Any ideas? What do you think?
No war.
You don't think there'd be one war? I think we could make a huge difference. Yeah. Becky, you wanted to say something?
There wouldn't be no evil in the world.
Yeah. But this, just this group, how could this group, if just this group, not the whole world, just this group, we're so unified in our relationship with Jesus and each other that we were living for Him so closely, what would happen to this world? I think there would be a huge revival in our province. Yeah. What do you think?
There would be more people in the world who believe because they met us.
Yeah.
There would be more people who could spread the word about Jesus.
Yeah. You know what I think? I think two things. I think, one, it's going to get harder. Because there's an enemy. And I'm just going to be real. So there's God, who wants us to live for Him, who's good and He loves us completely, and He has so much grace for us. Grace meaning undeserved favor, meaning that there is nothing that you could absolutely do that would separate you from God's love. Nothing. He loves you so much. And then there's Satan, and he wants to kill and destroy and take you down. And I think that if we were that unified, I think Satan would be working double time to destroy us. He would be working extra hard to destroy us. But I also think it would be easier because we would have each other. And when Lincoln trips or I trip, Lincoln's there to pick me up. Be like, let's go. We got this. When Greg sees me fall down, he's there to pick me up. I think us unified is so much stronger than we could even possibly imagine. Tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what it means to be a Christian. Some of you are like, that's great, but I don't even know if I'm a Christian. I don't even know what really you're kind of talking about. And you kind of feel like you're getting left behind with this talk a little bit. Tonight, I'm going to be inviting everyone who would like to become a Christian to do just that. And so you can be thinking about that throughout the day. Okay? If you think, I'm not sure what that means, you can have conversations with your cabin leaders. In fact, during cabin time, they're going to tell you how they came about to becoming a Christian and living into that. And for some of them, they just grew up with parents who taught them that and they don't really remember a specific moment. And for others, they know exactly the moment when they decided and they're just following Jesus from now on. Okay? But tonight, we're going to talk more about that. It is hard to be a Christian, and it is easy to be a Christian, depending on the moment. Because there are so many temptations, and there is an enemy out to get us. But when we are unified, when we are working together, when we are connected to each other and to God, it is the most amazing life. It is the most amazing adventure you can possibly imagine. It's intense. It's freeing. I don't have to be anybody except who God created me and has allowed me and gifted me to be. I get to be just me, which is pretty cool. So we're going to go to cabin time. And you guys can be thinking about chapel later tonight and what we're going to be talking about there. And we'll go from there. So let's pray and we'll dismiss you. Father, we thank you for this day. We ask, Lord, that you will come and teach us so much more about your word and living a life with you. We want to grow in a relationship with you, God, and so help us do that. Give these guys a good time and cabin time and a good conversation and give them courage to ask hard questions. In your name I pray. Amen.